Morning, everybody. You're in a mood. Take the sugar away from that girl there. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. Love this church. It's so good to be back. I always have this strange thing that Sunday morning or Sunday evening when we're away, it feels really weird not to be around you and see all the faces and just kind of be in the crowd. So it's good to be back. Love you all. Love the band this morning. Fab. Just love seeing everybody. And it's going to be great to meet afterwards and do tea and coffee. And I've been away a whole week. It sounds like I've been away for months, doesn't it? But it's good to be here. Why? Because church is cuddly. In church, cuddly. I love cuddly church. Oh, isn't that how church should be? Oh, cuddly church. Who likes cuddly church? Soft church, warm church, nice church, enjoyable church, safe church, relaxed church, where things are warm, the walls are soft, people are soft. Oh, well, there's a quilt on every chair. That's what we want, isn't it? I like cuddles. I like cuddly things. It makes me feel safe and cuddly. After my holiday, I'm feeling particularly cuddly, I have to say, but many of us do like the idea of cuddly, of soft, of secure, of warm. We like the idea of cuddly Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, because that's warm and safe as well, isn't it? That's secure. Who likes the idea of cuddly church? Who thinks there should be a fluffy bunny on every chair to stroke during the worship time? How cool would that be, my cuddly bunny for worship time? Because love is all we need. And because God is love, he must love everything that is lovely that we love, because love can't be bad. We need to be lovely and fluffy the whole time. Anybody going to join me in my lovely world? You've worked out now. Do you mean I look like a fairy? I'm being fluffy and lovely. Because that's what church leaders should be, isn't it? Fluffy. Do you mean you're not supposed to nod? You all know me well enough to know that I might be putting on a face right now. That I like cuddly and I like lovely, but let's be honest, how boring would that get really quickly? How like your life is it if I say everything is lovely and cuddly in the kingdom of God? Everything is lovely and cuddly in church. Become a Christian, be lovely and cuddly. Does that sound like real life? Does that sound like your spiritual experience? Has anybody like to pray for healing for the vocal cords or anything like that this morning? Does that sound like your spiritual experience? That everything is lovely and cuddly. I became a Christian and everything in my life was good. Isn't it meant to be though? Aren't you meant to become a Christian, walk in faith, and everything in life then is good, isn't it? Surely it is. It's cuddly. We have bunnies in church. What if Jesus has made us for more than just cuddly? What if Jesus has prepared something for us and is excited about us in a way that is beyond just cuddly? We're on a God journey bigger than a cuddle. Many of us have been hurt and hold on to it, but we're a journey people. So here's what we should say. We are hurt. We were injured. We will recover. We're on a journey. There may be hurts, but we're on a journey to recovery, to be healed and to be whole. Who wants to stay hurt? Raise your hand now if you'd like to stay hurt. Oh. I just assume, knowing some of you, that you enjoyed being hurt. Who's ever put on Facebook, hurt? Well, I know people that have done it. You know when you want some attention? Simply get on Facebook and type, hurt. And then all your friends will go, all right, hon. Where's Mikey? Mikey, I love you, but when you put hun, it creeps me out. But I tell you what, he's cuddly and he loves people, that's why, because he's a good lad. Nobody wants to stay hurt. What if we could be hurt but then recover and be stronger? What if that's the journey God is taking us on? What if there is something bigger than just being rescued and saved and cuddled in our hurt? What if we are rescued, saved, restored, healed, released? We can't stay hurt when there's a game still to play. Seems to me that if we try to be hurt and stay hurt, we'll stay on the sideline forever. When we want to be in the game, we need to be in the game, because that's where the life is. What if the good stuff in life and the hard stuff that can happen was about us being prepared by God for the things to come? What if God is capable of taking all of those hurt moments, all those disappointing moments, all of that stuff of life and saying, I'm going to use that to prepare you for this amazing future, for this amazing purpose. And yeah, I'm going to cuddle you and hold you right now when it hurts, but I'm going to restore you and heal you and pour life into you for purpose. In my new series that I'm going to be looking at over probably the course of this year, I'm going to look at very many elements, but with this attitude behind it, I'm going to be taking a whole lot of churchy ideas, a whole lot of accepted ideas, the stuff that's written in stone, the stuff that we know must categorically be absolutely true, because I can't think somebody said it once and it was prayed a long time ago and we've always done it that way, and why would we do it any different? Because we've done it that way for 50 years. I'm going to take all of that churchy stuff and I'm going to stomp all over it. Is that all right? I'm going to stomp all over it so that we can then stand in the truth. So this is our new series, Stomp and Stand. We're going to stomp on all the stuff so we can stand in the truth of God. And I'm going to be tackling a whole pile of things. We're going to tackle our understanding and the place of the Holy Spirit in the church, in our individual lives, in the life of the church. We're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to look at leadership. We're going to look at unity. We're going to look at all the core things that make us church. We're going to look at the church itself over this year. And we're going to say, what do we need to stomp all over? And what truth can we stand on in God? That's what we're going to do. Because what if there is a bigger? What if church were a little less comfortable but a whole lot more exciting? What if it were growing and full of new people whose lives were hurt but are becoming old injuries that they can be restored and healed? What if that were the church we were? I think that would be a journey worth taking. The first thing to stamp on, the introductory to this series of stomping and standing, the first thing I want to stomp on this morning, just to give us all a level playing field, just so we all understand, whatever your experience is, whether your life is amazing, whether it is terrible, whether other people think your life is amazing when you know it's terrible, whether you think your life is amazing and we all know it's terrible, whatever the version it might be, the first thing I want to stamp on so we're all on a level playing field is, being a good Christian means your life is good in every way and you will prosper in everything. I want to stomp all over that, because sometimes being a good Christian does not mean life is always good. Sometimes it means stuff happens and it's hard. So we're going to stomp all over that and discover that even in the tough stuff, God is still there. When the tough stuff happens, it doesn't mean that you're not loved. It doesn't mean that you're abandoned. It doesn't mean that you're less faithful. We're going to deal with all of that stuff briefly this morning, just to set the scene and still to say, you're one of God's people. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, if your life is amazing, if your life is terrible, if it's just average, here's the deal. It can be different with Jesus and a whole lot better. So let's have a little look at this to begin with. In Romans chapter 10, it says this. If you want to turn to it, I've not put it up there. Just want to encourage you this year to start bringing your Bibles to church or getting your your phones out and texting. If you're new to us, I'm really sorry, we normally have it up there. We've got some Bibles on the back, you want to borrow one. Or if you sat next to somebody with a Bible and you've not got one with it and it's your first time in church, they're now going to give you their Bible so you've got it to read from, all right? Because they've memorized theirs because they're in Hope House Church, and that's what we do around here. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I could stop there, so let's just do a coffee. Get hold of that. Scripture does not say quite a lot of people, but not everyone, who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. Scripture doesn't say that. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I want to stand on that this morning, because that's a great place to stand. Let's talk about feet. You don't like feet? You'll stop heckling me. Every week I'm going to put your feet up on that screen. These are ballet dancers' feet. Aren't they attractive? Oh! You've got to accept that there are some like hobbies and interests, and ballet dance might be one of them, where I'm not sure it's good for you. I am not convinced that is good for you. Look at those feet. I've got a thing about feet. Like, toenails have got to be cut. I don't want to see grotty rough skin. I don't want to see verrucas. When I'm at the swimming baths, I'm walking around thinking, people are in here with feet. You know when you're sat in the jacuzzi and somebody lift the foot out and scratch it? Oh! The worst thing is people cutting their toenails in public. It happened to me at one event this year. I walked past the tent and somebody was cutting their toenails, sat on it. No. That's like, there are some things that should be done in the secret, private place. For me, feet should be happy, smiley things. That's what feet should be like, with smiley toes. I look after my feet, let them matter to me, and I like them to be clean and non-smelly and safe. Yours might be crusty. But Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Here's the deal. It's not about pretty feet with smiley faces. In Isaiah 52, verse 7, where that verse is taken from, so the New Testament quotes a piece of the Old Testament, it says this: how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. And that's done mountain climbing, got to tell you, your feet work hard. And when that was written, they'd have worked hard in sandals. The feet would have looked more like ballet dancers' feet than smiley feet. Those feet will have done some real work to carry a message. And that's what's beautiful, because there's a journey involved. That's what really matters, and that's what we're going to be dealing with. It's not about pretty feet, but the journey they've endured to bring good news. And there are people in this room that endure journeys to bring good news. Beautiful because they offer a future life of salvation and God's purpose. It's what the feet represent that is beautiful. They represent a life that is given to God, and that in all circumstances of life, they have stood with God and they carry the good news of Jesus. That's beautiful. Feet that carry a message of the good news of Christ. That's the upside down life called the Christian life. A life that can be tough, dangerous, difficult, costly, hurtful and harsh. That's the very moment it's beautiful. When we keep stomping on the lie, we'll start standing on the truth. You know, so often people come to me as church pastors, one of the leaders of the church and other people in church with pastoral responsibility, and people come or you talk to them, you get in conversation, and they feel that my life isn't good enough, my Christian life isn't good enough, my faith isn't good enough, I get this wrong, I'm always doing this thing wrong, I just don't seem to have this, I don't seem to have that, I'm not good enough in this area, I was always told this, and they carry hurt and disappointment. But here's the thing, when that person who is facing tough stuff continues to say, but it's all about Jesus, then their feet become beautiful. Then they carry a beautiful message. Because life can be tough, life can be dangerous, life can be difficult, can be costly, can be hurtful, can be harsh, but Jesus is always present. Yeah. You get that, don't you? Jesus is always present. Its beauty, it's not in its cuddle moments, but in the journey that messenger continues. That's where the beauty is found. See, for me, the beauty of church is not that moment where we're just hugging one another. And I love hugging people. It's great to be hugged when you're walking. Hey, it's great to see you. I hugged a couple of people this morning. Not seen you for a while. It's good to hug you. It's good to kind of connect and be affectionate. I love all of that. But the beautiful thing is when I get to stand here and see people's lives and I know that they are pressing on in God. Despite the circumstances, despite the obstacles, despite the pressure, they are pressing on in God. And even when they've been hurt and let down and disappointed, what are they doing? They're pressing on in God. They just can't seem to turn their back on Jesus, their Savior, their Lord. That is an amazing thing. And I think that is an image of Christ. There is something in there as our life is changing, is beginning to reflect who Jesus is. Revelation chapter 5, right at the very end of the Bible, this part of this one verse says this: then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. Just think on that for a moment. In the amazingness of the throne room of God, Rue began this morning talking about the throne room of God. And the beauty and the wonder and amazing thing that is, right in the middle of it stands a lamb representing Jesus. It is Jesus, looking as if he had been slain. In this picture of Jesus, right at the heart, at the moment of his glory, his journey shines through. The scars shine through. They're not cast off in the throne room. They're not thrown away because they have value. They mark out the journey. Now, a lamb looking like it has been slain is not a beautiful thing. But the journey it has been on is a beautiful thing. It has brought salvation to us. Looking slain, sacrifice, scars that mark out the journey and place the highest value on that journey because they place the highest value on us. So you see, if you feel inadequate in your Christian life, but you carry on in Christ, you are beginning to look like Christ. You're beginning to look like Jesus. You are walking in faith. And that is a remarkable thing. So you might bear the scars of life. You may bear the scars of your experiences in life. You may still be battling. You may still keep tripping up and falling down. But every time you stand back up and say, but I'm still about Jesus, it becomes a beautiful thing. And we can repent and connect, reconnect with God, where we can stand back up despite every criticism, every opposition, every battle, every mistake, whatever it may be, whether it be wonderful things or bad things in our lives, every time we look again to Jesus and say, but it is all about him, we carry a beautiful message. It's true in our lives. See, this Saviour warrior, is worth putting our faith in because his very scars mark the greatest fight that bought us the very opportunity to stand with him in truth. So Jesus is happy to bear those scars. Because of his scars on a cross, he has us. Just think on that for a moment. Jesus is happy to carry the scars of the cross because that means he has us.
He has you. Because you matter. Who here has ever thought, I'm not good enough? I have no value. I'm not worthy. Who am I? Why am I even here? I'm not like the rest of those people. I can't. Well, here's the deal. Jesus happily carries those scars, looking like he's slain, because it bought you. That's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the bruises of life. Anybody got any? The hurts of life. Anybody got any? Don't stay in hurts. Let them become old injuries. The disappointments of life. Anybody got any? The failure of life. Anybody got any? People's inability to raise your arms. Anybody got any? Technically you have. Well, no, you can't go. Technically, I can't raise my broken arm and lift it up. When we are bruised, when we are hurt, when we have faced disappointment, when we have faced failure, but when we then carry on carrying out the call of the good news of Jesus in our lives, then we become real faith walkers. Then we are stomping on the bruises of life. We are stomping on the hurts. We are stomping on the disappointments. We are stomping on the failures. And we are saying, but Jesus still is. And then we become faith walkers. We are standing on truth. Church, I am amazed at Hope House Church. I love Hope House Church because it is so filled with people that despite bruises and hurts and disappointment and failure, carry on carrying out the good news of Jesus. I love the church. I love the church. And it doesn't matter whether it's some, I don't know, little church down some side road where there's a group of people who are carrying out the message of Jesus. They're seeking to be faithful. Or whether it's a massive gathering of 1,000 people in a city. Here's the truth. If we are standing on Jesus, he is proud to hold those scars and know that he bought us. The church, Jesus' church, is a beautiful thing. Here's something to knock on the head. Stuff of life happens. Stuff of life happens. And it isn't lack of faith, lack of repentance, lack of love, lack of the Holy Spirit. It's the beautiful life that refuses to be conquered, that carries on and carries out and doesn't run away. So if you feel, or if you've been accused of having a lack of faith, if you feel I need to repent more, if you feel there needs to be more love, if you feel there's an issue with the Holy Spirit, you know what? In the midst of all of those challenges, when we carry on looking to Jesus and don't run away, our life becomes beautiful. And there's an opportunity to be filled with faith, to repent and know it's received, to love and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just don't run away. Just don't run away. You see, the battle is a beautiful thing. And there are people in this room who are battling with life circumstances. But you know what's precious this morning? They are in this room. They are in this room. They have chosen to come and be in the presence of God, to be around his people. That is beautiful. See, the Christian life has value when it's about the journey as much as the destination. See, sometimes we just look at the destination. We look at what we could be. Oh, if I were a good Christian, I could be that. And we concentrate on the could be, on the destination, and all we ever do then is, I am here, I am going there. So if I am here, I am not as good as, oh, I'm a failure. Anybody do that? I do that kind of thing all the time. I look at what I wish was, what I hope for, what I have a vision for, what I aspire to, but then look at where I'm stood now and all my days. How will I ever get there? I am not good enough. That's when we concentrate on the destination. But Jesus is wise to that one. Jesus is wise to it because it's about the journey. You know, we're called to be disciples. Do you get that? We're called to be disciples. Everything about our call is called to life. It's called to journey. It's called to growth. It's called to change. So yes, you might be battling. Yes, you might fall over, but you are a disciple. Has anybody here ever had a new apprentice? I used to be an apprentice, and I was given an apprentice. Anybody here worked with a trainee? Oh, my days. I've got to tell you, when you get a new trainee, by the end of the day, all you want to do is shoot them. Who employed him? I'm like, Barbara, I want to draw a diagram. This is the exit door. Use it. You want that funny, mate? But here's the deal. Jesus gets that we're apprentices. He gets it. He calls us disciples. It's another word for apprentice. We're learning, we're growing. See, the Christian life is about the journey. The most exciting and wonderful thing is when you're on your journey and you fall over and get it wrong, but then know you can repent and stand back up and carry on with Jesus and know that you're still loved, not just by him, but by his church. How amazing is that? That God the Father still looks on you, calls you his child. It's a life that even when full of love, full of faith, full of repentance, full of Holy Spirit, but proclaims the truth, we can then say, in all these things we are more than conquerors. All these things we are more than conquerors through Christ. How good is that? Facing stuff doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. Anybody facing stuff in their life this week? Anybody facing health stuff? Facing legal stuff? Facing messed up life stuff because you got it wrong? You know, whatever it might be, whatever it might be, doesn't mean you are a bad Christian. It means you're still a child of God on a journey. And yeah, there might be repentance needed. There might be transformation needed. But that's the point. You are an apprentice. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ, but you are still his child. You are born again. You are loved. You are wanted. You are transformed. Your eternity is secure. You're just on the journey to understand how you live in that eternity, how you grow into it. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. We're going to be doing some standing on the truth through this year. We're going to be standing on all that God has said. And we need the full armor of God. Because I tell you this, our enemy is not flesh and blood. The Bible tells us that. Our enemy are the principalities and powers. It's certain. And he only has one weapon in his arsenal. You know the only thing that Satan has? Convincing you that his lies are true. Convincing you that his lies are true. And they're not. They are lies. So we're going to find that truth and we're going to stand on it. So whatever he proclaims over you, however unworthy you may feel you are, however not good enough you may feel you are, however not, whatever it may be, stand on the truth, put on the full armor of God, and know that you are saved. Know that you belong to him. And here's the deal. If ever anybody has ever said to you, you're not good enough, you're not a good enough Christian, I don't want to torture you, you're not the right type, you know, wow, who do they think they are? Because, get this deal, you're good enough for Jesus. So that person, you know, the person that like, I don't know, I'm unfriending Paul from Facebook, he's not the type I want to be with. You know what, just unfriend me. It's fine, just unfriend me. Because Jesus doesn't. Because Jesus takes a look at me and he thinks, wow, this is going to be a long old journey. But I'm going to walk it with him. And that's true for every person in this room. When we look to Jesus, put on the full armor of God, when we have done everything, to stand. Isn't it true that sometimes all you can do is just stand there? I can just about stand here, God. With Cheryl's feet, she struggles to do that. I've seen the picture. They're not your feet, but I bet they look like that, don't they? Any little girls fancy being a ballet dancer? Why is it? As soon as you say that, all the daft fellas put their hands up. Listen, God loves men with tutus in the wardrobe. It's all right. In this year, 2018, what if we got hold of the truth of Jesus in our lives and stood on it? What if we got hold of the truth that we are on a journey with him, and even when we get it wrong, we can stand back up and continue with him? What if we got hold of the truth that in my life, with all the messy, sticky history, current experience and potential future mess that I will make, I still carry on standing for Jesus and saying it's all about him? What if I'm that person that says, I know I've messed up, but when I get to work or talk to my neighbours or talk to my family, I'm still going to say, yeah, I know I'm all of those things that you say I am. I know I'm all the mess of those things that I say I am, but Jesus is still all of those things that I've said he is. Because then you become a beautiful person. This year, let's become beautiful people. Oh, I should have had some backing track there. Shouldn't have. There's so many songs with beautiful people in it. Oh, I should have done that. This year we'll throw some stuff our way. Did you know that? 2018 is not going to be a smooth year. You're all okay with that, aren't you? You know, like 2017 had some sticky stuff in it, in your life. I just want to share this with you. I want to prophesy it over you. 2018 will have lots of bad news in it. 2018 will have pressure in it. 2018 will have disappointment in it. I just want to prophesy and receive it in love. But it'd also be full of Christ. It can also be full of his Holy Spirit. It can also be full of friendship and companionship and the church. It can also be a safe place. It can actually be a place where you can be cuddled, where you can be built up and sent back out again. This year we'll throw some stuff our way and in your way. So get on the armor of God and put on the belt of truth and stand. For all the scars we may have, we will still stand for the good news of Jesus. And this church must do. And what excites me when I stand here and look around this room, there are people here who have been scarred and yet they still stand for Jesus. Be inspired and encouraged by those people this year. Imagine our Monday mornings change because the image we stand in is, of all the image options, we stand in the image of Jesus. And we have the opportunity to begin again all the time. So if I fall down this Monday morning, there's still Monday afternoon. If I fall down Monday afternoon, there's still Monday evening. If I fall down Monday evening, there is still Tuesday morning. And I can stand in the image of Christ. I can put on that full armor of God. God is calling you to a greater passion, a greater purpose, to fulfill the great God potential within you. Now, I know we're here because we want to believe. Or because we believe in belief, even when we wrestle with our unbelief. So let's get into the Word of God. Because the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, builds faith. And we can have faith for this year. So we're going to be talking this year about miracles, about healing, about an outpouring of His Holy Spirit, about moving in acts of faith, about gifts of the Holy Spirit, fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit, about unity, about the presence and work of the Holy Spirit Himself in this room amongst His people. We're going to deal with all of those things, and we want to stand on the truth of those things and move in the experience of them. We'll be looking at connecting real people to a real God in real life. So who's here? Who here is up for stomping on some of their history and standing on a fresh foundation, walking into a future? Can I invite the band back up if you would do, please? Not going to do some big appeal this morning. I just wanted to kind of lay the scene for where we're going to go. For when I'm speaking through this year, this will be the kind of backdrop of sermons, stomping on the stuff, standing on the truth, journeying to the future. That's what we're about. So for every person this morning that raised their hand up and said, I want to stomp on some history, it's probably most of us, we've got some history which we want to stamp all over, see it done with, see it gone. I want to jump in the air and land on it and crush it. There's something nice about... Has anybody ever done that thing where you jump up and down on a cardboard box till it collapses? It's just the best feeling. Just feels so good. You know, spiritually we can stomp on some historical cardboard boxes this morning. We can stomp on some of that emptiness. And then we can stand in the truth. This morning I want to proclaim this truth over you. You are sons and daughters of the living God. You are chosen. You are set apart. You are precious to Him. You are a chosen people. a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God. And his word says this, I will pour out my Holy Spirit. I will pour out my Holy Spirit. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. So this morning, you may not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but I want to tell you this. Let's get together and talk. Let's pray with you. Let's introduce you to Jesus, because everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Does that mean your life is going to be perfect right now? Does that mean I'm going to agree with every aspect of your lifestyle right now? No. But it does mean you're on a journey. Does it mean you continue to live in a way I may not understand? I may not even accept, I may not even like. But here's the deal. We're on a journey together. And ultimately, we will look like Christ. So we're going to sing, we're going to worship. I just encourage you, as we worship this morning, let's stand before Christ and let's say, I'm going to stamp on some history. And this year, I'm going to make this a year where I stand on the truth and I begin to journey into all that God has for me. So Lord, be with us, we pray. Lord, we pray you would pour your Holy Spirit out in new and exciting ways on us as a people. That we wouldn't just have hope written on the front of this building, but we would have lives of hope. That we would be hope carriers. And Lord, for each of us this year, when we will inevitably fall down, we don't lose our apprenticeship. We're not cast out. We just need to relearn, to grow, for our hurts to be healed, for them to become old injuries as we recover, as we become whole again in you. So Lord, we pray that 2018 would be a special year for this church, that many people would connect with us, they would put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they would stand on the truth with us, filled with your Spirit, on their own journey, on a shared journey. Lord, we don't want to be the same in a year's time as we are today. We want to look more like you. So we pray, Lord, would you teach us? Would you apprentice us? Would you stand with us? And would you empower us by your Holy Spirit? We ask it in the name of Jesus.